There may be several reasons why EU immigration officials are reassessing blanket asylum approvals for Eritreans. They may want to stop or reduce further Eritrean entries and to stop other migrants who falsely claim Eritrean nationality to receive asylum. Or EU officials may think Eritrea is shedding some of its domestic policies, policies that they believe led to human rights abuse. The UN Refugee Agency said youth conscription intensified last year, but Yamani says the EU is sending officials to Eritrea to see if their justification for that asylum policy is based on facts on the ground.
Several European countries formed their migration and departments to come and look at the situation for themselves in Eritrea. The British have been here, the Danes have been here, the Norwegians have been here several times, the Dutch have been here, the Swedes are here right now, and people from Switzerland have been here. So key European countries have sent their people to look at the situation on the ground. And I think that they've come to the realization that what is being said about Eritrea is not true, that there is no political persecution in this country, that national service is not indefinite, that it does not constitute slave labor. They believe that Eritreans, those who travel to Europe, are traveling there essentially for economic reasons.
Economic refugees from other African countries lie about their nationality to get fast-track approval of asylum. Yamani says many Ethiopian migrants falsely claim Eritrean citizenship to gain that automatic asylum. But the Ethiopian government has its own refugee problems to solve. Security officials in Addis Ababa have arrested 200 Ethiopians on charges of smuggling. They asked the International Criminal Police Organization, or Interpol, to help extradite 80 more for prosecution in Ethiopian courts. Yamani says some migrants bound for a European asylum are imposters.
People in this neighborhood, Ethiopians, Sudanese, Somalis, others, have claimed that they are Eritreans in order to expedite their asylum procedures. As far as minors is concerned, the same thing goes. You look at Ethiopia. Ethiopia is now at the heart of the human trafficking network. There are a lot of people from northern Ethiopia, minors, who are going to Europe posing as Eritreans.
The Eritrean government's view of its own recent history is that of a small country forced to become a war economy during a two-year border war with Ethiopia. The war cost as many as 100,000 lives and justified national service for anyone 18 or older. In Eritrea, refugees report that national service lasted for many years and became the instrument of punishment for critics of the state. Some have also charged that those who serve their country become forced labor in Eritrean gold mines operated by foreign firms. Yamani says current government policy requires that the 17 mining companies operating in Eritrea cannot hire an Eritrean unless he or she has a document proving they've been released from national service. Besides, Yamani says, national service is not just a standing army.
National service doesn't mean only people serving in the military. It means people serving mainly in the civilian sectors. So if you go to our schools, our teachers, probably around 60% are national service members. So they fulfill their national service obligations in our educational system, teaching. If you go to our health system, to our hospitals and clinics and health centers, again, a significant percentage of the people serving there are national service members. If you look into our agriculture, the people providing extension services to farmers and giving them advice are national service people.
An African affairs researcher who recently traveled to Asmara spoke with Mr. Isaias and others in the Asmara government. She described a charm offensive of officials looking to rid themselves of their old image. Yamani says post-war Eritrea will be different.
War entails certain restrictions on the society and the economy because you have just defense takes the priority at that particular time. Now that phase is coming to an end. We are to a new phase of growth. We believe that in the next 3 to 5 years, the Eritrean economy will see significant transformation. We believe that in 3 to 5 years we'll be able to provide abundant opportunities for our young people. We're getting more and more confident about the development prospects in Eritrea, and that is leading to this change.
For the sake of economic development, the Eritrean government now considers whether to give up its war economy and the longtime practice of jailing its dissenters and its journalists. Meanwhile, the leaders of the European Union struggle with the summer's massive flow of migrants. And they now struggle with whether to welcome future Eritrean migrants who claim political asylum. This is David Arnold for VOA in Washington, D.C.